You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. Just like the dude said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, it is day of days. It is Friday. There it is, Friday. So glad. Congratulations. Here you are. You made it through another week. Outstanding. Heading into a good weekend, I hope. And right now, today, being Friday, Boomer is on the board. Hey, brother.
Hey, hey.
How are you?
I'm good. Little man had a baseball game last night.
I didn't even get a chance to ask you.
he did a good job. So they won.
Did he start at catcher again?
He actually was right field last night. Okay. And then he got to play catcher a couple innings, but then went back out. So he did good.
He did good. He got on base again?
He got on base. He nice. Was 1-for-2 last night, but he was good.
Still. Well, 1-for-2 last night, but if I'm not mistaken, he's like 5-for-6.
Yep. Yep, that's right.
For this week, right? All
for
stars?
For the week, yeah.
Sweet. Well, that's good. So tomorrow night's like the bracket games, right?
Tonight is the championship game. He's reminded me like 12 times already today.
Dad, tonight's championship game.
That's, so it's all fun. It's great.
That's good. Well, congratulations. I'm excited for y'all. All right. Hey, listen, we got a great show laid on for you, and I'm sitting here highly overdressed for radio, got my lawyer uniform on. But at 3 o'clock today, a guy who I met recently named Alan Harris, who sits on the Alabama Workforce Council, he chaired a committee that examined absenteeism issues, not just in students, but also in teachers in the state of Alabama. It's fascinating to me. I mean, I never would have thought about that being a thing we have to address, but yeah. Anyway, Alan Harris calling in at 3 o'clock to give us a summation of how that Workforce Council's findings came together. I think it's going to be eye-opening. And then at 3:30, a friend who's been on the show before, Ryan Cantrell, he's the National Director of Governmental Affairs for an organization called American Federation for Children. They are making waves on a national basis for school choice. Except Ryan, who's from Alabama, he and I both agree, Alabama is not playing catch-up right now. We are still lagging way behind on this issue. So Ryan Cantrell, 3:30, National Director of Governmental Affairs for American Federation for Children. And then I got a whole triple-dipper full of stuff, so hit it, bro.
The Triple Dipper, three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that we're going to run with on today's show. So number one, right out the gate, school days. And I'm spelling that D-A-Z-E, school days. So school days, we're going to talk about school choice, we're going to talk about the absenteeism issue, and we're going to talk about the fact that Democrats, generally speaking, around the nation, are slowing the roll on education being improved. But yet, in Alabama, we have a Republican supermajority, so Democrats shouldn't be the factor here. We'll talk about it. School days, number one on Triple Dipper. Number two, man, this one just ticked me off. I mean, like, made me mad. Like, I'm getting ready. I found this article, the lead article on the whole thing. I'm calling this section, What Are Our Kids Reading? Listen, there is a concerted effort right now to put books in the hands of our kids that are nothing like what you and I would ever want them to read. Like, they're not even age-appropriate. Like, they're not for kids. They're adults trying to groom kids. We'll talk about it. What are our kids reading? That's number two on the Triple Dipper. And then number three, didn't get to it yesterday. We'll see how today goes, but the plan is, number three on the Triple Dipper, the sanctity of life. It's a little creepy, to be honest. Euthanasia, which some would like to prefer to call assisted suicide, or even better, like mercy killings. I mean, the euphemisms they use are getting a little freaky. It's not just people that are terminal. It's like you're depressed. Here, take this drug and end your life. Medically prescribed, government approved. Yeah, the sanctity of life. We'll talk about that. Number three on the Triple Dipper. All right, let me jump over here to my comments. It is now day five of movie week. So each and every day this week, I've been doing my monologues with movies as the backdrop. And I've always said, too, like movies are like modern-day parables. They're stories that can be used to also make a point. So this week, I've used The Patriot and Gladiator, Top Gun Maverick, and Remember the Titans. Well, today I'm pushing the outer limits, and I'm suggesting that nobody should ever underestimate the American people. The American spirit, it's a thing, a real thing. It is almost tangible. I'm going to talk about it today, and to do that, I'm using a modern-day movie classic, Ford versus Ferrari. Now, I'm a car guy, but you don't have to love cars to love this movie. It wasn't about cars. It was about American ingenuity and American spirit and grit and the idea that you can call us whatever you want, but don't ever call us down. In 1963, Ford Motor Company was about to change the world by introducing the Mustang. But Ford Vice President Lee Iacocca, he felt like there was something missing. Something flashy and fast that could win races and garner a worldwide following. So Iacocca convinced Ford President Henry Ford II that they should buy out the Italian automaker Ferrari. Ferrari had been dominating the Le Mans racing circuit with hand-built, streamlined classics. Henry Ford liked the idea. He sent Iacocca to Italy, where Enzo Ferrari sat sipping tea in the far end of his coachworks. Iacocca made the pitch, and Ferrari let him sit there and sweat for hours, while all the while what Ferrari was really doing was using Ford to gain some leverage with Fiat to buy him out for more money. It was a dirty trick, man. It was a bait and switch. But as if that were not enough, Ferrari decided to insult America's premier automaker directly. He told the group, including Iacocca, in a condescending tone, "You go back to Michigan. Go back to your big ugly factory, making its ugly little cars, and tell your pig-headed boss that all of his smug executives are just worthless sons of whores, and tell him he is no Henry Ford." Jeez. In one fell swoop, that arrogant Italian, whose country we had just liberated from fascism 20 years prior to that, insulted American manufacturing capability, American style, and American legacies. He really insulted America in the process. Oh, he shouldn't ought have done that. When Ford heard about it, he decided that it wasn't the first time the U.S. went to war in Europe, and he told Iacocca, "We're going to bury Ferrari at Le Mans." Iacocca got the green light to build the world's fastest, most enduring race car from scratch, and to do that, he had to have a team. So Iacocca went out and hired none other than Carroll Shelby, a legendary car builder and a racer who at 22 years old had been the pilot of a B-29 Superfortress flying combat missions of World War II. And then Carroll Shelby turned around and hired Ken Miles, a man who could drive like his hair was on fire, who could feel the road, smell the next gear. Shelby was asked to come to the debut of the new Ford Mustang and give a short speech talking about the race program. So wearing his signature cowboy hat and talking in his Texas drawl, Shelby took the stage and he told the world how it was going to be. This is what he said. He said, "If my daddy was here today, he'd tell me to sit on down and leave the yakking to the college boys. So like my cars, I'll make this fast. When I was 10 years old, Pop said to me, 'Son, it's a truly lucky man who knows what he wants to do in this world, because that man will never work a day in his life. But there are a few, a precious few, and hell, I don't know if they're lucky or not, but there are a few people who find something that they have to do, something that obsesses them, something that if they can't do it, it's going to drive them clean out of their mind. I'm that guy. And I know one other man who feels exactly the same. His name is Mr. Henry Ford. And together we're going to build the world's fastest automobile, and we're going to make history, too, at Le Mans. My name is Carroll Shelby. I build race cars." And, brother, it was on then. Shelby and Miles and the team they put together built a legendary vehicle called the GT40. It was sleek, but it was muscular. It was low and mean and looked like it could fly. It didn't use a high-winding European engine. It carried a bulky American-built Ford V8 engine. It was just a beast of a car. But it didn't win right away. But as Henry Ford was focused on the checkered flag and getting frustrated waiting for the wins, Carroll Shelby was focused on building and sustaining a true legend on four wheels. And he told Henry Ford they might not have won the first race right out the gate, but they scared the pants off of Enzo Ferrari when the GT40 hit 218 miles per hour on the straightaway. So Ford and Ferrari continued to duke it out. This is all a true story, by the way. With Ford inching closer, but still not quite able to take the flag. But at one point, the American team was struggling to keep their brakes from overheating with all the power they could put to the wheels. It's a thing called brake fade, and it was burning their brakes out, causing massive complications. This is an American car, though. Shelby and Miles read the race rules, and they came up with an idea that only a group of maverick Americans could do. They did a pit stop, and they shocked the world by changing out the entire brake assembly right there on the spot. Ferrari was apoplectic, but they were inside the rules. And as they approached the 1966 24-hour Le Mans race, Shelby had built three GT40s. It was a nasty race. But in Carroll Shelby's words, "We're lighter, we're faster, and if that don't work, we're nastier." The three Ford GT40s pushed the Ferrari team to the limits until the last Ferrari in the race blew its engine trying to keep up. The Ford team finished with all three GT40s taking the top three trophies, and Ford went on to do it again for the next three consecutive years. Now that movie, in my opinion, has America down to a T. As a people, we are not always the most refined. We have a maverick streak a mile long. Our people can get rowdy and boisterous and speak out of turn, but we're also fiercely loyal and overly determined. It's as if losing is antithetical to being American. We take yes as permission to go the extra mile, and we often take no as a challenge to overcome. If they don't have what we need, we make it from scratch. If they don't know where it is, we find it. If they say it can't be done, then by God, we'll do it just to prove that it's doable. If a friend says they need something, the culture of America means that we stop what we're doing and give them the shirt off our back. And if you mess with our friends, it's the same as if you mess with us. I believe that by and large, Americans love deeper, work harder, win more, and lose less than pretty much any country in the world. We may often be brash and sometimes off color, but we're good. And I mean good as in good at heart. There's nothing about America that's perfect, but pretty much everything about it is good. Carroll Shelby once said, "If you're not winning, you're losing." Fair enough. Ford versus Ferrari. It's an epic flick about an epic race and an epic car built by an epic group of men. It's a story, y'all, about the American spirit. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way. Man, I love that movie. I was fired up. And oh, by the way, I also love cars, so that didn't hurt a bit. But I'm going to tell you, that movie just like encapsulated. When I watched it, it's encapsulated like the American spirit. Not a little bit. I mean, a lot. Like, okay, you say it can't be done? Well, by God, step aside. Watch how we do. I'm just saying. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. I got a bunch of stuff in the text messages already. Text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. And just since I just did Ford versus Ferrari as my monologue, I have to point out the reason why the number is 833-68-RIGHT is because the 68 is my very first car, which a picture of it is still sitting on the shelf in my office, my 68 Mustang.
And it is on our website.
Oh, the picture of the Mustang is?
Yes, it is.
Sweet.
Thunderfoot is there.
Sweet Thunderfoot, that was his name. Bless it. Yeah, that was my baby all through high school. I pretty much decided that if I ever found out my kids drove like I used to drive, there was going to be a reckoning. Just saying. South Huntsville was better off when I was no longer driving my 68 Mustang down Bailey Cove Road near the old Grissom High School. John from Huntsville just texted in. He says, "Nice monologue, Phil, but I'm a little disappointed you didn't use the Jamaican bobsled movie Cool Runnings for one of your monologues." John, I just don't think it encapsulated the American spirit. I know it's a big deal to you, brother, but I just couldn't go there. Allie from Athens, Ford versus Ferrari at the end of the day is about leadership, teamwork, risk-taking, and brotherhood. Thank you. Appreciate that. And I see your other message too, Allie. I'll get to it. Tony from Piedmont says, "Wow, that was a great movie and perfect batting record this week." Thank you, brother. And then he also sent me a picture of his Ford truck parked at the house. Two Ford trucks parked at the house. Nice. And then Big Dave from Woodstock, Alabama says, "Okay, next week you got to use lyrics to songs for all your monologues." What do I start with? I mean,
You could use some, I'm sure you could use some our favorite, Ted Nugent. I'm sorry. I'm sure Ted Nugent would,
yeah, stranglehold.
Yeah. Big Rich.
That'll work. Cat scratch fever. There's got to be a lesson in there somewhere. Yeah. ZZ Top always has a lesson, just saying. Black Crows has always got a lesson. Brian from Huntsville says, Ford versus Ferrari, awesome. Another might be Fury. Oh, yeah. You ever seen Fury? Oh, yeah. That was a kind of a dark movie in some ways, but I'm gonna tell you right now, man. There were two major combat scenes in that movie. The first was the battle. Well, he says it right here in his text too. The battle with the Tiger tank, and that was, by the way, that was the last known Tiger tank able to move in the world, a real one that was used for the movie. And then the battle scene at the end was like next level. It was incredible. Anyway, all right, all the text lines are open. You may chime on in whenever you see fit. All right, Boomer. Carroll Shelby, were you already familiar with him before?
Yes. Okay. I knew Carroll Shelby. I didn't know Carroll Shelby.
But you haven't seen the movie yet, you said.
I have not seen the movie. So, yes, you can question my manhood.
No,
it's okay.
I won't do it. I won't do it because I know you well enough not to do that.
Because it will be seen by tonight. So.
Nice. Well, this is one. I know you said it was on your list and you realized you just not gotten to it.
I just not gotten to it.
What's funny is I've known you, your family, for years. Uh-huh. Y'all are a movie family.
Like, we are.
Like your parents, I remember they used to go to like a Sunday matinee was their thing, wasn't it?
That was their thing. It was that or it was Monday night. If they missed it, they would go on Monday night or do something. They would always go to a movie.
I think they were the first people I ever met that had like a season pass to the movie theater,
yes,
or something
they
like
did.
That. Anyway, all said and done. I've enjoyed this week. I hope y'all have. It really is something when you find out that there's a modern day parable opportunity for telling a story, and I've been doing that for a while. I've used movies to teach leadership before. It's just cool, but it's also been fun for me. Sometimes working the monologue out becomes one of the biggest parts of my day, and something about the movies this week made it flow. And so anyway, I've enjoyed it thoroughly. Hope y'all have too. I need to remind you that the monologue is now also sponsored by Southern Immediate Care, a chain of medical clinics all across the Birmingham area that have recently come on board as one of our sponsors. And part of what they're doing is sponsoring the daily Right Side Way monologue. So thank you to Southern Immediate Care for helping to bring that to us every single day. All right, listen, we're going to come right back in a minute. I'm jumping into number one of the Triple Dipper. I'm calling it School Days, D-A-Z-E, School Days. We got to do something, y'all. And this needs to be a platform issue for whoever runs for governor next, a platform issue for whoever runs for president. But I'm telling you, state of Alabama, there is no excuse for some of what we're seeing or not seeing in our public school system. We're putting billions of dollars into failing time and time again. Today, we're going to talk about it in two veins, school choice and chronic absenteeism. That's a thing? Apparently it is, especially since COVID. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.